that much.
We don't plug ourselves.
We don't plug ourselves.
Even giggles. Oh.
Sunday, 7 to 8.
Thank you.
Tension.
You're listening to Look At My Records on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am Charlie and I'm subbing in for Tom today. We're in the studio with Boston punk garage band, The Gala. They're playing at the Gutter tonight with, who are you guys playing at the Gutter with tonight?
I believe Castle Black and potentially Lobsters. Potentially though, we're not sure.
Okay.
We're not sure.
Potentially Lobsters. And so do you guys know these bands? Or because you're not playing all, you're not touring with them, right?
Have no idea who these people are, but they seem lovely.
Okay.
From what we get, they seem lovely.
So it's tonight at the Gutter, and the Gala is on tour, touring the Northeast and the Midwest. If you're in Vermont, if you're in Connecticut, if you're in Massachusetts, if you're in Maine, or if you're in Pennsylvania, they're probably coming close to you. They just released their new album, Bad News, on March 1st on Deadbeat Records, the Cleveland-based label. So we just played a few songs that weren't from the Gala.
Those are going to be the best ones.
Yeah.
We'll see. You guys can let us know. You just heard Too Much Tension by the Mystery Lights, their new single, and you just heard before that Bottom Feeder by La Peche. So we're going to be playing a few songs from the upcoming record. We're going to be playing Sorry, which was a single on the record, and you guys have four singles on the record.
You got it.
Yes, and that was the
second one, I believe.
The second one. Okay. So we'll be playing Sorry, and after that we'll be playing Touch Me.
Ah, yeah.
Off your first EP?
Yeah, you got it.
Yes. Which was released on Hepcat, Hi-Fi Hepcat Press.
Yeah, you got
it. A label from Boston.
You got it.
And you guys, so far you guys have released two EPs,
mm-hmm.
two singles.
Yep.
It's your first album.
Yep.
So I guess we'll be talking about the tour. I want to know about how you guys came about. And I want to hear a bit more about some cool stuff that's happening with you guys. So maybe let's introduce the band before we play the second single off Bad News. So we're in the studio today with Emily Doran.
Hello.
Who sings. Chris Kennelly.
Hello.
Chris on guitar. Rebecca, who does keys. Rebecca.
Hi.
Frank. Justin Pirelli on bass.
Hello.
And Dave Pietroforte on
trumpet.
Yeah. Nice job.
All right.
What's up?
That's a cool name. So coming up right now, we'll play Sorry off their new album, Bad News. And after that, you will hear Touch Me off their EP called Pucker Up.
Yeah.
And we're back. That was Touch Me by the Gala off their EP Pucker Up, released in 2017 on Hi-Fi Hepcrat. Wow.
No, that's accurate. That's accurate.
Absolutely. We should change it.
Hi-Fi Hepcat Press.
Sweet.
Thanks for being here today, guys. So tell us a tiny bit. So far, you guys have played. You guys started your tour, your spring-summer tour in March.
You got it.
And you had, I guess, your first show at O'Brien's in Alston, and you played in Worcester at Ralph's Diner, Cotto in Salem, then back to O'Brien's and today the Gutter, and you guys have about 10, 12 more dates coming up.
Oh, yeah, nonstop.
And it seems like you guys sort of play, you've played these areas before, since you guys have started in 2015?
About half and half. About half the areas we hit before, and then half of them are new places that haven't had our sleaze and cheese yet. So.
Okay. You guys are conquering slowly but surely with the new album.
Right, right. Trying to get to the deep woods in this time. So we hit some cities before, but this time trying to get like far up north, you know, Midwest a bit. So.
Yeah, so you guys will be playing on August 10th in Cleveland at Maple Grove Tavern, and you guys will be playing in Michigan, in Detroit, at PJ's Lager House. You guys have gotten very good reviews on your live shows.
Thank you.
Picked up this one on Vanya Land, which is, is it a UK blog?
No, that's actually a Boston one.
Oh, it's a Boston one.
But they're awesome. Vanya Land and Michael Marotta are awesome. Thank you.
Shout out to them.
Yeah.
They said that everyone who experiences the live, the Boston Bam Glam Garage Punk Brigade rants and raves about their stage shows. So, I mean, sounds like fun. Sounds like you should be at the Gutter tonight.
I think so.
Yeah.
Right? We're a little biased, but.
A few other highlights. Classic Rock magazine and I believe had some nice words to say, saying that the gala is the party you've never been invited to but always dreamt of, swirling kaleidoscope of debauchery and decadence that you probably wouldn't survive, but you can handle a song at least.
Accurate.
And you guys were featured on Blood of Rock.
Yep.
In their 247th issue, the compilation they released. So, yeah, you guys are signed to a Cleveland-based record label. You're starting to play sort of all over. So we mentioned before Hi-Fi Hepcat have been working with you guys since 2016, 15?
Yeah, 2015 since the start, yeah.
Okay. And
that was the first kind of step with our cassette releases and stuff, and then once we got in touch with Deadbeat and they got interested in us, it was like limited edition 7 inches, and then, you know, we didn't know who was going to put out the album, but it just seemed to all work out really well with Deadbeat, so it all came together, and thankfully it did.
Yeah. And so you guys you guys manage yourselves?
To the best of our abilities. Most of the time.
So you do. So, okay, cool. Yeah. So you guys got yourself a record deal with them. Why them? They do a lot of punk, right?
Yeah, I mean, we wanted somebody that was edgy, and we wanted somebody that was, like, worldwide. We talked to some labels, and a lot of them were very, small geographic, like, very excited about us, but it was very regional. We are ambitious. We are nothing but grind. So to us, it's like we want to make it as far as possible.
Yeah.
So we wanted somebody that was going to work as hard to get it out there as we are. So they were really excited about it. Tom, shout out to Tom and Deadbeat. They were really super stoked about it. So
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So you guys released a video last month.
Yeah.
For Crybaby, which we'll be playing in a few minutes. It was directed and edited by John Douglas Manson.
Oh, the one and only.
And that's a pretty epic name. And
right?
It has some
serial killer quality to it.
Yes. Yeah. But the footage is pretty cool. And you know what it reminded me of? Now, Brett, now that we talk about it, it almost reminds me of, you remember the raconteurs?
Yeah.
You remember the Steady As She Goes video?
For sure, yeah.
It's creepy. There's something like gothic about...
Yeah, now that you mentioned it, I totally see that.
But so, yeah, how did you guys... So it's from the some of the footage you guys sampled, I guess, in the video is from One Somerville by John Doherty. Is that your choice or the... What was the idea behind the video, I guess? And,
well, it's...
Sorry, we're going deep.
Yeah, here we go.
We're going deep with the gala right now, guys.
So it's basically, when the album was coming out, we had four videos to make. Uh-huh. And we were like, all right, how can we get as many videos out as possible?
Yeah.
That one was actually one of the easiest ones because we knew that Crybaby was going to be a single. Uh-huh. We already had live footage of us doing it. That was spot on. And then... working with John Douglas Manson, like, he does a bunch of directing, and so he's a short film director, so he actually had footage for a film that he didn't fit, that he didn't finish, that actually fit the song really well. So he had this idea, and we're like, that sounds great. He did a treatment of the two together, and we're like, that's it. That's the video right there.
It works really well.
Thank you.
It looked like there was like an old 30s movie thing at first, and then...
Yeah.
And it ends with this car, leaving a funeral or...
Yeah, yeah. So I guess that's all John Manson original footage. Yeah.
That's his footage.
That's his footage, yeah.
But how... So he just shoots on film, and he's a modern day...
Director, yeah.
He does a lot... Okay, because it does look really like archive, original, like...
That's what I thought. I'm like, I was like, oh, like there must have been some stock footage or something. But there was this and then another video that he just sent like a bunch of like the raw footage. And it was like, oh, this is your footage. Okay. So,
okay.
So thankfully for us, he had unfinished movies because it worked out.
Yeah. And the rest of it is a video of you guys performing the song.
You got it. Yeah.
Is that a real show or is that in
a... That was
a
show.
That was Once Ballroom, right? Yeah. Earlier this year or last year?
No, that was last year.
Last year. Together. Early last year, yeah.
I've heard of that place.
It's
awesome.
You guys aren't playing there, but you guys are playing, you're not playing in Somerville. You're playing in Lowell at Uncharted on June 15th.
We actually just got a Once Somerville show for October 26th with the Fleshtones and Muck in the Mire. So,
guys, be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, that's a cool one. So, you heard it here first.
So, what is it? I mean, you know, it's not really what we should be talking about, but what's that venue?
Bring it on. Proto garage, like fuzz rock and roll. To us, it's like we have this like middle ground that it's like we're all about like the early garage rock, like the rawness of it. But at the same time, it's like we're all about like the intensity and the attitude of like the punk. So somewhere in the middle is like where we kind of fall. So any band that's like somewhere in that spectrum, it's like somewhere they must have influenced us. So to be able to play with like Muck and the Myers is like, mind blowing, because it's like I never thought we'd play with them, or like Fleshtones. It's like that's crazy.
Yeah. So you guys have been in 2018. You guys opened for Pac AD.
Yeah.
Muck in the Myers, and you guys have gotten a lot of radio attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
From Europe and honestly, I didn't even know about a lot of these radio stations like in the Massachusetts area, et cetera, which were pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it seems like you guys are getting a lot of buzz from that.
Yeah, we've been super fortunate. Yeah. Boston's one of those places, too, that it's like a really big melting pot. It's so dense and there's not enough venues, but there's nothing but colleges and radio stations. So you literally have just every 4 years, new people with new radio stations, but then like no places for bands to play.
Yeah.
So it's by the time that you're a band that gets somebody's attention, it's like they're all in on you.
Right. So I guess, you were talking about, you know, sort of where your sound is rooted. Sometimes when I was listening to the music, I could hear a bit of Blondie. I don't know if that...
For sure.
That heard sticks. That before.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Mission of Burma a bit.
Yeah, you know, for sure. Yeah, another Boston band, yeah.
I was just bringing this up, the Caesars, just really because of the... So you were saying it's a farfisa that you use when you... On most of these songs?
On everything on this album, yes.
And so you have it with you on tour?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass, but it's worth it.
How do you take care of that? How do you... What is it in... It's in a... like metal box, I guess?
Or yeah, it's in a wood box.
Okay.
And
that
yeah,
everybody likes to put their drinks on.
People do love to put their drinks on it at shows, which is...
You always need that kind of stuff. Yeah. You never know what you end up needing on tour.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I have a couple backups at home in case anything goes wrong. But okay. They do, yeah, we turn them on. You got to turn them on every week or else notes start going bad. And we have some backup cards in case we need to fix things
okay.
as it goes. But it is vintage gear, so it's tricky.
Have you guys had any, like, horror stories with it so far?
Not yet.
With the guitar,
Guitar's been a nightmare.
I've had an amp die in the middle of a show.
That sucks.
It's literally the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, in all honesty, like, once amp dies and once you change it, it's like, how much worse could it get?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's
true.
You
dies again.
Right. That's true.
No, for sure. Damn. So, I guess maybe this is a good time to talk a bit about, I guess, because you were saying you guys actually... well, maybe this is not something I'll share, but
do it.
Well, you guys slept in the van last night, which is something that's pretty commendable.
Yeah. Thank you.
We left the show and drove here.
Yep,
it was fun.
Powered on Red Bulls and Uncrustables.
Yeah, wow.
I bought $60 worth of Red Bull before we left.
Damn,
it was good.
Red Bull, if you guys are listening,
hit us up.
Sponsorship. Get in touch.
Yes. So can you guys maybe tell us a bit more about, I guess, how you guys met? You guys basically kind of released the song and started playing shows on the back of that. You were telling me you used to play in different bands.
Yep.
So what were the band names? What were the who was in what, etc. Run us through all of that.
So basically it was I guess the singularity is like a Monday night at Charlie's Kitchen in Boston. Justin and Emily were in a band Designer Drugs. Becca and I were in a band Liberation Day. And it's like, you know, it's like bands, it's like, it's the coolest people you can find. You know what I mean? Like at the time it's like you got some cool people and stuff. When we met them it was like right off the bat, we just knew it was like, oh, we listen to the same music. Yeah. It's like my kind of people.
And the guitarists were in the car doing drugs at the time.
I think I was watching.
Emily texted us.
I was watching.
You gotta come up. You gotta see this band. They're amazing. And they were.
It's one of those things that it was just like we stayed in contact and we swapped a bunch of shows. And then as bands ended, we always like, we bounced around the idea. It's just the timing wasn't right. Yeah. And then finally... none of us had anything going on, and it was just like this perfect nexus point that it was like, well, let's just ruin our lives. And
that,
like,
that really is the life of the band musician, I feel like.
Yeah.
You just kind of swing from branch to branch, and you hope you enjoy it, right?
Totally. Well, also, too, it's like, you don't, like, if there's another band going on, it's like, you don't want to just, like, swoop in and snag half their band, you know? Yeah. So it's like...
Although it happens, but, you know...
Oh, yeah, of course.
What
I mean, you can't miss a good opportunity.
The world of
music. Right.
So let's talk about more stuff. I mean, you guys, I saw you guys had some... So the new record, Bad News, is available in all formats. You guys have really cool LPs.
Oh, thank you.
That you made for them.
Yeah.
They're super trippy colors, and you have different versions of them? Or is it just...
It's just the one. It's just the one, but it's double-sided. So double-sided. One side is like the more like kind of like putrid green, and one is kind of like more of like a vomity kind of orange.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, we lucked out with that. Wax Mage at Wax Mage Records at Gutta Groove, they really went above and beyond for those limited editions. We had a rough idea for them because we wanted it to match the artwork that was done by Darren Marinuk.
Yeah.
He was like the first like super sought after person that we like really courted. We were like, we'd love for you to do the artwork. So to make the special edition like kind of something similar seemed natural. We just didn't know how it was going to come off. We didn't know if they were going to do it.
Yeah,
it was all up in the air. So really, like, we just kind of hoped and we asked really nicely.
Yeah.
For ridiculous things.
So, like, we tried. Like, there was all kinds of things. We didn't know if the hearts were actually going to be in the record. We tried putting, like, little hearts inside, like, the sleeve itself. So that when you opened it, it barfed out. Terrible idea. It whooped the record. Like, it whooped the sleeve of the record. It gets stuck in the corners. It did not work at all. But it's like anything with art. It's like, you know, 10% of it doesn't work. But if you don't try it, the cool things that you would never think would work that did work, you wouldn't have done.
Yeah. Like, it made me think, like, so you guys have cassettes. I mean, have you guys surprised yourselves with how these circulate? And, like,
for sure.
They kind of are like a little ambassador to, you know, your.
It's really interesting because, like, it seems to be like different formats reach different people. It sounds like really intuitive to say that, but, like, when you think of it, like, what didn't cross our mind? Like, when we did our first release, we did a 7-inch because we were like, oh, like, it would be really cool to do a 7-inch. Like, that was awesome. And then we did a cassette EP because we were like, oh, a cassette is the cheapest and coolest way to fit 3 songs on there. So it was all, like, really, like, utility. But what we found out was that it reached different people. So, like, there's, like, this really, like, huge, like, vinyl fetish scene that's, like, especially, like, on, like, Instagram that, like,
I follow, like, all these dudes. Like, they'll post the dumbest fucking record.
Right.
From Thailand or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Like 7 in a row.
And it's like the craziest stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, and, like, obviously, like, this is the first time with the full length that we went for CDs. It just seemed like very, like, normal. So I guess we kind of stayed away from it. But it's been very successful. People like CDs.
Right.
But then, like, the same with the cassettes too. Like, the cassettes, like, we didn't think that the cassettes would be more than a novelty, but it's like, if you drive a car that has a cassette player, it's like, that's how you're gonna listen to music. It having all of it really helps, like, I feel like, reach a broader amount of people.
And I was gonna ask, like, what I saw you guys, like, did a poll for when a merch item on your it was either Rolling Papers or Mirror.
Yeah, Mirror. Yeah.
I still want the Rolling Papers.
Yeah, the Rolling Papers.
You can't go wrong with those.
That's what I'm saying.
You cannot.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Well, the big thing is, like, getting it to be so that, like, we like it. Because, like, a lot of these places, they want to do, like, cheapo ones. And so, like, they want to do, like, cheap rice paper or something like that. It's like, you gotta have, like, the not bleached. It's gotta be, like,
to be
nice,
high quality.
Right. You don't want it to be junk, you know?
Not non-novelty.
Right.
So, you know, so far we said, you know, you released 2 EPs, 2 singles on Hi-Fi Hepcat, which is based in Boston, and the new record Bad News is out on Deadbeat. Is there any cool stuff that's come out of that outside of having somebody help you release the music? Any, like, bands that you really like on those labels? Or is there any features that you guys like? Well, I guess it's a bit different, you know, in the rock scene, but how is that, has that extended kind of your community in any way? Or?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in Boston, it's like there's really, like, not that many. So it's like there's maybe us and then, like, you know, 4 or 5 other rock bands. It's like maybe like 2 or 3 of them are actually good. So it's like you have to go, you know, it's like you feel like you're alone in a sea of of nothing.
Right.
So it's like Boston wouldn't pay attention to us at all. Mm-hmm. But then once we landed a label in Cleveland, Boston was like, oh, like, cool. So I feel like with bands like that, it's really helped. Like, the latest on Deadbeat is Poison Boys from Chicago.
Okay.
And they're the coolest. They're so awesome. And they're coming here July 31st. Okay. And it, like, they're
Boston
one of those.
Boston here.
Boston. Oh, sorry.
I mean, they might be coming to Brooklyn.
I think they're coming to Brooklyn,
yeah,
too.
I would think they are.
But we're playing with them in Boston, sorry. Okay. But yeah, but they're super awesome. And especially too, like, hearing something like that, it's like, it definitely makes you feel like a lot less alone.
Yeah. Cool. So I guess let's play a tiny bit more music from you guys. Let's play Cry Baby.
Sweet.
And then let's play Boy. And I think maybe after that, we'll get to, your picks of the day.
Sounds great.
We've got some cool stuff coming up. Janie Jones by The Clash. I just want to have something to do by The Ramones. The Pros and Cons of Dying by Naked Aggression. I did not even know that band, and they're very cool. So let's coming up next, we're going to play Crybaby by The Gala off their upcoming album, Bad News, or their already recently released album, Bad News. Check it out, Crybaby.
Close my eyes, but
You're listening to Look at My Records on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm subbing in for Tom Gallo today, and we have the gala with us. Thanks for coming, guys. So we just played.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, of course. We just played Janie Jones by The Clash, and that was Emily. That was your pick, Emily.
It was.
So you guys should know Emily sings in the gala. And do you wanna tell us a tiny bit more about your story with the song, what you like about it?
I do. That song, I picked that song because it was the first band that I was in. Uh-huh. That was like the first cover song really that we learned and performed. Our guitar player, I feel like, was heavily influenced by The Clash. Like that was his number one. And I mean, I had heard of them before, of course, who hasn't? But it was when I was in the band with him that, you know, we listened to them nonstop. Uh-huh. And yeah, I learned that song. That was like the first cover song that I learned. And I feel like this isn't why I picked it, but it's a very Justin bass line. So it feels very appropriate. And I don't know.
That
it's got, yeah.
Good things.
And I feel like it's got that energy.
Oh, yeah. It's got really good energy. I mean, it's not, I feel like that's a pretty hard song to cover first. But cool. So I'm glad we played that. The Clash for the best. We're going to play a Ramones song next. And whose pick was that?
That was mine.
Okay, so that was Chris's pick. I guess let's play it. And then, actually, you want to tell us now a bit?
Let's dive into it. To me, it's like the Ramones, it's like the ultimate like anti-authority. Uh-huh, you know, it's just like, it's not supposed to be cool music, but somehow it's ended up on like so many people's t-shirts. It's literally the best songs. Like all my favorite parts of like Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, it's like right there.
Yeah.
Chuck Berry, it's like right there. But it's faster and it's cooler and it's got the leather jackets. It's like, how can you not love it? This song, it's like, I always think of the beginning of Rock and Roll High School when you first see the Ramones.
Yeah.
It's like coming on like the convertible. It's like, that's the coolest. And like the song sums up like pretty much my adolescent years up until now, my 30s. So I still haven't shucked that feeling. So.
Yeah, it's an awesome song. Let's hear it. I just want to have something to do by the Ramones.
See you now.
So that was Naked Aggression by the Pros and Cons of Dying. It was actually not the song Justin chose.
Yeah. but no, it's really cool.
It's so better than what he chose.
The album's like amazing. And when me and Emily were in a band, half the band was in upstate New York, half the band was in Boston. So regularly every weekend I'd like travel out to upstate. And this was like well past Albany. And then some, and that album I'd always play, and it's just like front to back, just got me going, when it's going to and from, and just kind of a like really sad story about the band was, well, I won't get into it.
No, get into it.
Yeah.
I was pretty, so they're from the 90s, right? And they're from LA.
Yeah.
Seems like from reading about them, they're kind of political. Yeah.
Think they formed as a protest to was it Operation Rescue and then it just sort of took off as a band, and from what I understand it was a husband and wife, and the husband was an asthmatic and ended up dying from an asthma attack after a show, so from playing the show, so
pretty crazy.
It's pretty intense. Yeah.
And how many albums do they have out?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's from Gut Ring Machine, which is really just my favorite album ever.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to it. So thanks for that pick, Justin, and sorry about so the actual song that you wanted to play
is The Pros and Cons of Dying. I think that one was mislabeled.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pros and Cons of Dying.
Yeah.
By Naked Aggression. So the next pick is Dream Hits by 45 Graves, which is an awesome song too. And whose pick was that?
That's mine. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that was Nick's pick.
Right? Dave.
Oh, God. Sorry.
It's okay.
Close enough.
Very close. I've been called worse, man.
Dave Pietro.
You're doing
that,
great.
That makes me feel good. Dave Pietro Forte on drums. Definitely not Nick. So he
might be.
He chose Dream Hits by 45 Graves. Let's play it. And you can tell us a bit about the band and stuff after.
Cool.
Thank you.
That was Dream Hits by 45 Graves. A really good song. Dave, can you tell us a tiny bit about why you chose this song?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always been a fan of the 45 Grave. And actually, one of the first times I saw the Gala before I joined the band, they kind of just reminded me of them right off the bat. You know what I mean? Just their performance, very theatrical, powerful, just in like that slight, you know, little hint of brutality and being spooky without being spooky, you know?
Yeah.
They're pretty good. So that's why I chose it.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it is, there's a bit of a theme of I guess, you know, rawness and I feel like you guys bring out a kind of a darker sound, but that's very melodic.
Absolutely. Very poppy at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of like a...
And it's interesting. I don't know much about LA punk from, you know, the 80s and the 90s. And it's funny to hear all this really kind of left field and melodic stuff. So we're going to finish with House of the Rising Sun.
Ooh.
Rebecca's choice. And thank you guys so much for being here. You guys are playing in the Gutter tonight.
Yeah.
With Potentially Lobster and...
Castle Black.
Who's doing a video screening, I think.
Yeah, video release tonight, yeah.
And what time are you guys on?
We are on last, I believe, so 11 or midnight.
10 or 11.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks so much to Gala. Listen to their new album, Bad News. It's just released March 1st on Deadbeat Records. Excellent songs. Really fun, high energy punk music. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
We'll see you soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Have a great show tonight. And good luck on the rest of your tour.
Thank you so much, man.
Smoke. There is a house in New Orleans.